I want to bring a little message this morning to the boys and girls, but to all in the meeting, to the adults also. The gospel is a message that is for everyone, not just for the old, but for the young, for all ages, all creeds, all people, all races. It's an all-inclusive message. Yes, it's an exclusive message. There's only one way. The Lord said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. One way to heaven, but it is an inclusive message. It's for everyone this morning. I'm sure we're all looking forward to Christmas time, boys and girls especially. You can't wait. You're counting down the days to the 25th of December. And once the school holidays take place, and I'm sure most are off. Most get off on Friday, I think. But you're counting the days down until Christmas Day. And I know last year things were a little bit different, and maybe this year also. But we usually look forward to meeting together with all our family members, and we pray you'll be able to do that in some form even this year. I'm sure you're all looking forward to your big turkey dinner and the stuffing and the Brussels sprouts. You all love your greens and Brussels sprouts, yes, I'm sure you do. Well, I'm looking forward to it. I love them. And I love my mince pies especially, as I've been telling the folk. As you can see here, I've ate my own weight in mince pies this past few months, since they've come out in the shops. But all those things are associated with Christmas, and we look forward to those things, and the selection boxes and your celebrations and all those things. There are many things people get excited about at this time of year, but I think if the boys and girls were honest this morning, and maybe even the adults also, the thing you look forward to most is your presents. Open up the presents on Christmas morning. And gifts are wonderful things to receive and wonderful things to give. It's wonderful to give as well as to receive. And they bring joy. Gifts bring joy to those who receive them. And I'm sure every boy and girl here, every young person is grateful for the presents that they receive. You should be grateful. Always be thankful. If someone gives you a present, you always say thank you. I appreciate that, because you know a lot of people put a lot of effort into Christmas and saving up, putting their money aside all year to buy presents, and we always should be thankful for what we receive. There's many in this world today who won't receive anything at Christmas time, no presents at all. There's many children who are starving, won't have any turkey dinners or selection boxes or nothing like that. So we're privileged, and be thankful for what you receive at this Christmas time. But I want to read a text this morning from 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And it's the verse 15. And it says this, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. There's two words there, thanks and gift. You see, this chapter that the Apostle Paul is writing, he is writing to the church at Corinth. And in the verses 6 and 7, he's speaking about cheerful giving. But given to God's work. And he says in verse 6 and 7, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. In other words, he that giveth little shall receive little in return. But he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And then we go to that last verse, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. And God is speaking about giving here, and giving to God's work, and giving to people who are in need, and looking after those who are less well off than ourselves. But he ends with the most greatest gift ever. And he's the one that giveth. The Lord God, the Father, gave the greatest gift that we could ever receive. And Paul calls it here an unspeakable gift. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Now, the Apostle Paul is not speaking about a toy. He's not speaking here about an iPad or an iPhone or an Xbox or a PS5 or any technology. He's not speaking about the latest brands of your new Nike trainers or your Jack Wills hoodie or all the latest brands of clothing. He's not speaking about some of these things you might receive at Christmas time. He's speaking about something much more precious than that. He's not speaking about some sort of jewel that you might receive. And maybe this is something here that some of the mummies may be looking for. And come Christmas morning as they open up their boxes, there's a hint to the daddies. The husbands, if you haven't already went out and bought the gift, there's still time. the clock's ticking, but he's not speaking about something as expensive as this. And you know, the most expensive diamond in the world that was ever bought was $72.1 million. Imagine that for one diamond. It's called the Pink Star. $72.1 million for a diamond. But he's not speaking about that. He's not speaking about something like a diamond or jewelry or something valuable like that. But rather he's speaking about something much more precious than even the most expensive diamond or jewelry in the whole world. This is the best gift that has ever been given, and nothing in this whole world compares to it this morning. I wonder, do you know what that gift is that Paul is speaking of? Well, that gift is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ, that little babe in Bethlehem's manger, that is God's gift to sinners. That is God's gift to humanity. That is God's gift to this world. And that's why the message of the gospel is so wonderful. And that's what Christmas time is about. It's not just about turkey and mince pies and giving gifts and having parties and meeting with family. But it's about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. The greatest gift that has ever been given. And it's because the Lord has come into this world, has been born into this world, and went to die on the cross in the place of sinners. That's why we should rejoice this Christmas time. That's why we should celebrate this Christmas time. You see, the Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, boys and girls and parents and grandparents and everyone else in this meeting, we did not deserve this gift. Rather, we deserve to be punished for our wrongdoing. The Bible calls that sin. You see, we all do wrong. We all lie. I think all the boys and girls, all the adults would admit here today that we all tell lies. We all break laws. We're disobedient. We steal. We're nasty to others. We have sin in our hearts. No one teaches us to be sinners. When a baby is born, you don't have to teach it to hit or to tell lies or to do wrong. It does it naturally. It all comes so naturally to us because we're all born sinners, the Bible tells us. And the Bible says that we've all sinned and we've all come short of the glory of God. And that word, come short, means to miss the mark. It means to miss the standard. You see, God has set a standard. It's like doing an exam. And you imagine the standard to get into university, for example, is 100%. And if you get anything less, well, you've missed the mark. You've missed the standard. And we have all, as it were, got an F on our life. We have all failed. We have all come short of God's standard. We have missed the mark. You think of the Olympic Games and you have to reach a certain standard to get into the Olympic Games. You have to set a mark. A long jump, it's a distance. In a running race, it's a time. It's a standard set. And God has set a standard for each one of us. And that standard is perfection. And we all feel we cannot meet that standard because we are sinners. And only one person has ever met that standard. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is why he was born. He came into this world and he lived a perfect life. The Bible tells us he was without sin. He was the only one who ever lived who never sinned. He never told a lie. He was never disobedient to his mother Mary, his earthly parents, Joseph. He never did wrong. He had never pride in his heart. He was perfect in all ways. And he lived that life that we could never live. And he's come as a gift for us. Even though that we have missed God's mark, even though we have failed, as it were, our lives are a failure, yet God has given us this wonderful gift. And you imagine you did your exam, and you all do exams at school, and you know the teacher says, okay, if you reach a certain standard, you're all going to get a prize. But you miss that standard, and the teacher gives you all a prize anyway. Well, you wouldn't think, well, that's a bit unfair. If it was a standard to reach and they didn't reach it, they give a prize anyway. Well, that doesn't really happen. You have to earn your prize normally in life. Well, our lives, the way we lived, we don't earn salvation. We can't earn God's gift of salvation because we have failed in all that we have done. But God has given us unspeakable gift, even though we don't deserve it. You know, sometimes at this time of season, Christmas time, you know, you give gifts out of obligation. You know, there may be people you buy gifts for, but, well, if the truth be told, you don't really want to buy them a gift. They don't really deserve it. You mightn't like them that much, and if you had your way, you probably wouldn't buy it for them. But you feel obligated. I better give them, they've given me one, I better give them one in return. But you see, we don't always give out of a right of motive. We might give just to save face. It's not out of love in our heart. It's not out of a right motive. It might be out of duty. It might be out because we feel we have to give that gift. It's not given out of love. But God the Father, the Bible tells us that He so loved this world. He so loved us that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. He loved us so much that He gave us the gift of a Son, even though we didn't deserve it. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that the greatest gift ever? It's called here an unspeakable gift. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Now, what does that mean? Why does Paul say, call it an unspeakable gift? Well, that word unspeakable, it means we can't fully describe it. It's beyond our human language. There's no words in our language to describe this, how wonderful this gift is. It leaves us speechless. And boys and girls, maybe you've received a gift on Christmas time, and it's something you've wanted for so long, and maybe you weren't expecting to get it, and you rip open the paper, and there it is. Maybe it's the latest PS5 or something like that, and you weren't sure where you're going to get it or not, and you ripped open the paper, and there it was, and your mouth's open, you're speechless. You can't even speak. You can't describe how happy you are and what a wonderful gift this is. And here Paul, as he begins to think upon God's gift for mankind, God's gift to sinners, it's so wonderful he can't even describe it. It's beyond explanation. You see, it's so wonderful, it's so unspeakable because of its value. You see, God could give us many things if He chose to. You see, God could give us all great wealth today. He could make us all millionaires. God could give us perfect health. God could give us perfect wisdom. God could give us power. He could give us many, many things today. But the Bible gives us this warning. For what shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? You see, the most valuable thing that you and I have today is our soul. Our soul lives on when we leave this world. When we die, our soul lives on. And the Bible tells us our soul will live in either one of two places. Either heaven, to be with God. Or if we reject Christ, reject the gospel, reject this unspeakable gift, the Bible tells us that we'll go to that awful place called hell. You see, money can't buy you true happiness. Power can't buy you true happiness. And many people today think all these things, money and power and greed, are the way to true happiness. You know, you think of the richest people in the world, Elon Musk, who owns Tesla. You know all the electric cars you see on the road? He's worth $281 billion. Jeff Bezos, the owner of Amazon, he's worth $221 billion. Bill Gates, Microsoft, $171 billion. Mark Zuckerberg, Facebook, $137 billion. And these men have more money than they know what to do with, but are they happy? No, of course not. And Elon Musk can put a rocket together and send people up to space for 10 or 15 minutes for £250,000. And he can do that, and he can buy all he wants, all the property in the world, all the cars, he can buy position, he can buy loads of things, and all these men can buy many, many things in this world. But you know what they cannot buy? They cannot buy salvation. They cannot buy a place in heaven. Oh, they can go up in a spaceship, but they'll never reach heaven. You see, we cannot buy salvation, we cannot earn salvation, because it's a gift. When you get a gift on Christmas morning, do you open your wallet and hand out money and pay for it? No, of course you don't. It's a free gift. It's given to you. It's free for you to receive. And so is salvation. So is God's unspeakable gift. It's freely offered to all this morning. You just have to receive it. You just have to receive it hold your hands out and receive it and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this gift, this unspeakable gift of the Lord Jesus Christ, is a gift of great value because there's only one of it. There's only one. There's only one way to heaven. God and only one Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it might be easy to give things away if you had many of them. If you had countless, you think maybe some of the boys here collect those football cards. Maybe you swap them with your friends. And you know, you get a double or a triple and you've no problem swapping because you have. But what if you're looking for that star one, that gold one, and the one that's really hard to get, and and you got it? Would you give it away? I don't think you would. You'd hold on to it. You wouldn't swap it. And boys and girls and adults in this meeting, there's only one Saviour. Only one Saviour. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. One way to heaven. And that's what God the Father has done for us. He sent His only begotten Son. We've sinned against Him. We don't deserve this gift. We deserve to be punished. But yet, He sent the Saviour to die in our place. What a gift. What a love gift. God the Father gave His only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's possible to give someone a gift that might be very expensive and yet a very little practical value or benefit to them. Imagine you woke up on Christmas morning, all right, and there's a big box sitting under the Christmas tree, and your mummy and daddy said, "Oh, there's a present there. It's really expensive. Be very, very careful with it. Don't break it. It costs an awful lot of money," and you're excited. You rip open the paper and you open it and you open the box and guess what it is? A big crystal vase for holding flowers, and you'd look at it and go, what good is that to me? Oh yes, it may be expensive, maybe very, very precious, may have cost a lot of money, but it's of no benefit to you. You don't really want it. It's of no use to you. You don't need it. You're disappointed with it. You're not satisfied with that present. But God's unspeakable gift, you'll not be disappointed. You'll be satisfied because the Lord Jesus Christ said, "I am come that you might have life and have it more abundant." And you know, people in this world today, they're looking for drugs and alcohol and money and all these things to find peace, to find satisfaction, and they never find it. They look and look and look and they try something else and they move on to something else, but nothing satisfies. But this gift, the Lord Jesus Christ, it satisfies. It's of eternal benefit to us. You see, the gift in our text, the Lord Jesus said that He gives unto us eternal life and we shall never perish. You see, this gift will not be broken. It will last forever. And you know, boys and girls, again, you may have maybe a younger brother and sister, and maybe you get your present on Christmas morning, and by the end of the day, it looks like this. It's been smashed and thrown around the place and broken. Maybe it's Lego, and you've spent hours putting it together, and someone comes along and stands on it or kicks it or knocks it off the shelf, and oh, you're not happy. It's broken. It's fallen apart. But you see, God's gift will never be broken. Never be faulty. It will last forever. It's an eternal gift. It's a gift that is everlasting. And when we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, well, we're saved for eternity, forever. And you know, this wonderful gift has been offered to us all this morning. And none of us want to refuse gift. You get a gift on Christmas morning, I don't think you'd refuse it. You'll take it, you'll open it. Well, this very morning, this very moment, the Lord Jesus Christ has been offered to you as a gift. Are you going to receive Him? Or are you going to reject Him? You think of the wise men. These wise men came in the search for the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you be wise today? He says, many in this world today, and the Bible calls them fools. The psalmist says in Psalm 14, verse 1, "The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God." And we live in a world and a society where there are many fools because they say there's no God. They say this world happened by, like that, a big bang. And this all happened. The mountains, the trees, the creation, all happened by evolution. But that's a load of nonsense. The Bible tells us in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the Bible calls those who deny God as fools. But we want you to be wise today. The Bible says, "And you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." Will you be wise this morning and search out Christ and trust him as your Savior? You know, you can have him this morning. All you have to do is turn from your sin. And that's just simply to say, "I'm sorry, I've done wrong. I know I'm a sinner. I know I've lied and stolen and done all these things that I'm not supposed to do. I know I have. And I'm sorry for my sin. And I'm going to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ." What does trust mean? You've been trusting the whole time you've been sitting down this morning. You've been trusting in that pew you're sitting on will hold you up. You didn't think before you sat down, "I wonder, before I sit down, will this pew hold me?" No, you've trusted that will hold you up. And to trust in the Savior simply means that you're trusting your soul, your life to him, that he's able to save you. And he's able to do for you what you cannot do for yourself, and that is give you eternal life, give you salvation, forgive you of your sins. And all you must do is simply say, "I'm sorry for my sin, and I trust in the Lord Jesus Christ." You know, as you think of that manger this morning, remember the cross. He came to be born for one reason only, and that was to die. To die for you and I in this meeting. To die for each one of us. And you can leave here this morning with this unspeakable gift. You can leave here this morning with peace in your heart, knowing that my sins are forgiven, that I've got Jesus in my heart, that my life has been changed. Wouldn't that be a wonderful Christmas? Oh, I pray this morning at this Christmas time that you'll think upon God's unspeakable gift. And I pray that you'll come and trust him as your Lord and Savior if you don't already know him. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts this morning. We'll